B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to the program, Felger Maserati, on Friday, May 7th. You know what that means, Anthony?
Agenda-free
Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. When you buy or lease your car from Bernardi, they have no agenda. Just like our callers today. Just like us. No, see, we have no agenda. You have the agenda. You set it with your wonderful phone calls. But that's the Bernardi Auto Group. No agenda. When you buy or lease a car from them, they just want to get you the car you want with exceptional service. That's it. Find your next Audi, Acura, Honda, or Toyota now at BernardiAutoGroup.com. From our Town Fair Tire Studios, we give opening takes while you're populating the call screen, and then we go to you in the opening segment if everyone is ready. So, Jimmy is wiping down. He will be releasing the hounds shortly at 617-779-0985. In the meantime, we give opening takes. Who wants to go first?
Murray.
Yeah, sure. The jigsaw is falling into place for the Bruins postseason. Another shutout for the kid in goal last night. Taylor Hall, I think, getting more and more comfortable, seemingly bought in all the way. But it's really about the goalie situation. And it's all coming together, just as wanted to. A few weeks ago, Rask shows you he still has the pants pooping in him against Buffalo. He's pulled at 4-1. Jaro Halak blows it the other night against New Jersey, has the meltdown on the ice because he knows in all likelihood he's lost the backup job. That's it. And then last night it solidified because Swayman gets his second shutout since he's been called up. The kid's the real deal. It's Rask as your one. Swayman is your two. He's your backup. Now all we need, round one to begin. See a series against, Penguins, whoever. Tied 2-2 and have Tuukka do Tuukka things. Oh, my back. Or blow it in an awful fashion. I wasn't sheeting the puck well. Whatever. Gives Cassidy and the Bruins brass no choice. None. We can't. We've seen this. We're not doing this. We've seen this movie. We're not watching this again. They go to the kid. And then, boom. Cinderella story's on. Swayman takes him all the way to the cup final. And they win the damn thing. I've never been so sure of anything in my life. It just all comes down to whether or not they'll have the balls to pull the plug on Rask. If they're down 0-2 and he's looking like garbage, or it's tied 2-2, like I said, and he does Tuukka things, they have to have the sack to pull him. And no, like, we can't do this. We've seen this movie 1,000 times. We're not doing this again. But it's all fallen into place.
Lovely. 617-779-0985.
So can I just give you my 2 cents quickly on the Bruins?
You were there, right?
I was actually at the game, but as it relates to the goalie, I could have shut out the Rangers.
Yeah,
last
it wasn't
night.
Much there.
Yeah, not a lot of effort, but still.
No. I'm not taking away from the kid. It's not his fault. If he's not tested, it's not his fault. But that thing last night, please. That was a complete mail-in job by the Rangers. Not that I can blame them. But that aside. So I was reading Jared Weiss on The Athletic this afternoon. And he brought up an interesting point. That when Jason Tatum signed his contract with the Celtics, it included a provision by which his salary would increase by $32 million over the span of the contract. So that's not per year. That's $32 million over 4 years, potentially five, if he were to make an All-NBA team. And that could be the All-NBA third team. It doesn't have to be All-NBA first. Any one of the three All-NBA teams, if Jason Tatum makes one of those, he triggers an incentive in his contract that increases the value by 25 or 30%. Could his surge in play of late be that simple? This is my question. Could it all just be about that Jason Tatum decided, because when we cited the Kendrick Perkins tweet,
yep,
the Celtics would tell you, and Danny Ainge said this on the interview with Toucher and Rich right around that time when they were discussing the impact of that Perkins tweet. Ainge said in the interview with the morning program that Tatum actually had been playing well, not for 3 or 4 games, but for 10 or 11. So here's what I wonder. Is this whole thing really just a salary drive? Is that really all it is? Did we miss it? Is it really that simple that Tatum looked at it and said, I better get my ass in gear if I want to make All-NBA third team because it's worth $32 million to me over the next 4 years, $8 million bucks a year or something like that in that area? Could it really be that simple? And you know what the giveaway is to me? in his 53-point game and in his 60-point game, Jason Tatum in those games went to the line 33 times. 33. He went 30 of 33 at the free throw line in those two games. And the big thing to me in his play, along with the fact, look, he's done everything better of late, but it's going to the basket. He didn't go to the basket early in the year, and now he is. And it, could it be just that simple? Cha-ching, cha-ching.
I like it. Okay. You can weigh in on that if you like. I've got a couple things I want to get to today. Some big picture Patriots items that, have been put in that hot take slow cooker, the crock pot we got at home there, Murray.
Yeah.
And these are takes that are not going to be fresh. And I'm sure Maz has said portions of what I'm going to say later on today, or Murray has, or callers, and I'm the last to it because I process slowly. And I've had them in the hot take crock pot back at home.
With tomatoes.
And so we've had it on low simmer for a couple days, and I finally reached some conclusions. So I'll bring you those later on today. But my opening take is quickly on yesterday's Red Sox game and the Red Sox in general, and how the length of these games and the pace of play, and I know, I'm sorry, we've done it a million times, but it's hit me over the head again the last couple of days as I've been waiting on Red Sox games to do this job. We had Red Sox scheduled yesterday in the 4 o'clock hour in our rundown. Game starts at 1. Those getaway games are usually pretty quick. By 4, we're talking Red Sox. Nice post-game coverage.
And those getaway days, those are usually the fastest games in baseball.
Yeah, that's right.
They're clocking at like 2:40.
Yeah, because we're all ready to go.
Yeah.
4 hours and 13 minutes. And by the time it's over, we're at 5:30. And you know what, Red Sox and baseball? Go F yourself. We're going to do 5 questions that have nothing to do about sports. 5:30? 5:30 is when that thing came to an end just about.
Oh, this is brutal.
For our purposes. 4:13 for a 9-inning ball game in the middle of May, 1 of 162.
You could have flown to Chicago and checked into your hotel room.
I mean, what? Who does that to you other than baseball? It's just ridiculous. The night before on the Mike Holley show, we've got it in our rundown for Red Sox post game. Blue's going to be on. Red Sox are going to be coming. Well, I want to talk about the team. This isn't anti-baseball. I'm actually sitting there waiting for you to finish the game so I can talk about you. That game lasted the night before 3 hours and 47 minutes. Plus a 37-minute rain delay. Not their fault, but when you add it all up, there's another 4.5-hour product for you. The game didn't end in time. We gave it 4 hours. It still wasn't over. The night before, 3:38. Their last three games, 4:13, 3:47, 3:38. I'm sorry, I don't have time for you. I can't. I can't do that.
How could you possibly?
I can't do it. This is not unusual. The pace of play in baseball and the length of the games is not getting any better. According to Baseball Reference, the average time of game for a 9-inning game this year so far is 3 hours, 7 minutes. That's an all-time high, tying last year's mark of 3:07. It's exactly the same as last year, 3:07, up from 3:05 in 2019. So they're still at record high in terms of pace of play, length of game. And just to, you know, just to reference it, because I think it's important to do it. You know, in 1981, that's 40 years ago, I picked 1981. That's really like a 12-year-old boy in Milwaukee with Robin Yount and Paul Molitor, huge baseball fan. I watched baseball back then. The average length of a 9-inning game took 2 hours and 33 minutes. Some of you older timers, you know, you impossible dreamers, in 1971, and again, I just went back by 10 years each time, because we're 2021. In 2021, a 9-hour ball game takes 3:07. In 1971, it took 2:25. So the game has changed so dramatically. Not for the better. And we've done it a million times. We don't have to do it more again today. But I'm just reiterating, I want to talk baseball. I just can't. The games won't end. The games won't end. And so what do you want me to do? Sit around and watch you try and play 9 innings out of 1 of 162 in the middle of May? It's preposterous. So anyway, there that is. To your calls, as promised, 617-779-0985. Tommy and Lynn, I kept you on hold way too long yesterday. I'm sorry. Thanks for chiming back. What do you got, Tommy?
All right, boys, here I go. My first take is about the Bruins. I loved how they played last night. Finally, Felga, another person that was sleeping for like a good while, Jake DeBrusk. And also, Murray, your take was the best a few minutes ago. Swayman is the way to go with the Bruins because Rask will poop himself in the first game, whoever we play, because I don't have faith in Rask. He's going to crap himself and drop a big poop on the ice.
Hey, Tommy, thanks so much. Thanks so much. Has Cassie said anything about the postseason roster and, you know, what's happening there? I mean, he can't possibly have Halak in there behind Rask, can he?
I don't know that he's addressed it yet, but I don't see how he can possibly do it.
He did mention there is one game left, I forget which one here, coming up of the few remaining that he's left open to see who's going to start. It's going to be a coin flip between Halak and Swayman, but I don't know how you can't already make the determination that Swayman's the backup.
I mean, I think it's over.
Come on.
And Swayman should get all those games. You give Rask whatever he needs to be as sharp as he can, and he'll dictate it. Tuukka, you want 3 games, 5 games, whatever. Rask gets those games, and then the other have to go to Swayman, so he's not on ice by the time you get 2 weeks into the playoffs and we get to the obligatory Rask pants crapping. So, like, that's just the way it's got to be. I'm sorry.
I think it's over. I mean, I look at it. Let's just say Halak goes out and plays great in the next game. Does it change your mind?
No. Big whoop.
Okay, if Halak plays great and the kid plays badly, does it change your mind?
Nope.
It shouldn't.
Mine doesn't change mine either.
The kid's better.
Yeah, he is better. He is better. To me, I think it's over. I think he already blew past him. And you know what? I think Halak knows it, too.
Let's grab Richie in North Quincy on this very topic. Hi, Richie.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Love the hockey talk. Hey, a question. The last several weeks, I've noticed if Rask isn't playing, he's not on the bench backing up the starting goalie. Why is that?
I don't know. But we're just going to have to go with it, Richie. I mean,
if you had to guess, though, it's probably to just give him rest anyway because of the back or whatever the hell was going on there.
Might have something to do with that.
Yeah, because he's not playing, so he's resting the back. So there's no point of even having him on the bench because he's not going to play. And you don't want to play him in the case of emergency because that's a rest day. And so you don't even put him on the bench. So, I mean, there's that. That's simple enough.
It is a thing, though, that is brittle. I mean, the thing is brittle. It's hard to look at Rask and feel like once they get going, he's going to play all 25 if they make it to the finals. Like, how do you think that at this? How many games has he played this year? Has he even played that many this year?
I don't have the number, Matt.
It's got to be less than that, Mike. There's no way he played 25 games. I'll look it up. But I bet you it's 18, 19, somewhere in there.
We'll endeavor to find that number. In the meantime, we'll hear from our sponsors and get right back to you on an Agenda Free Friday.
22.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
No thanks.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble.
I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Feeds to the left circle, Heedle. His pass across block. Left point, Jones shoots, and it's deflected wide, and the horn is going to sound. Jeremy Swayman records his second shutout. The Boston Bruins have won 7 consecutive games at TD Garden, and they wax the Rangers tonight. 4-0.
All right, it's Felger and Maz here, brought to you by DraftKings, 98.5 The Sports Hub, and the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. Got some hockey talk early, but everything's on the table. Everything from the week we've gotten to or have yet to get to. For example, Mac Jones, we've mentioned him once or twice. Barrett in Maine wants to talk about that. Go ahead, Barrett.
Hey, quick thing about the Red Sox on your opening take. In my opinion, if you have the best record in baseball and you just put 20 runs together in a game and your first take is that the games are too long, then do that on your own time. On Mac Jones, you guys want to make fun of Charlie Weiss. I know he's a little unkempt. He's old. He's probably got a few screws getting loose up there. But for Tom Brady, his first 4 years, 3,500-ish yards, high 20 touchdowns, low teen picks, around 61-62% completion percentage. If I was to put a gun to your head, I think you'd probably say that's what Mac Jones is probably likely to do this year. So when he says, hey, he reminds me of Tom Brady, and you guys go, Charlie Weiss thinks Mac Jones is Tom Brady. I mean, come on. Give the guy a break.
Barrett, thanks for the call. He likes 4 hour and 13 minutes baseball games and thinks it's fair to compare Mac Jones to Tom Brady.
Yeah, I would say to him on both of those, you know, and not that it's necessarily a blah, but I was just annoyed by the way you said it.
Yeah, if that's what the calls are going to be today, I say we call it FU Friday and take no calls.
Oh, I like that idea.
Again,
can we get a sponsor for that?
He thinks 4 hour and 13 minute baseball games are cool and it's fair to compare Mac Jones to Tom Brady. Discuss.
Yeah.
What's to discuss? He's wrong.
And Mike, see, so this is, and look, just to jump back to a game earlier in the year, you remember the game they played at the Mets where they had the 30 strikeouts and there were six hits or something?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And look, I remember you coming in and saying, oh, my God, that's just baseball is baseball. That game didn't bother me that much. I think I said it that night after you left because we ended up talking about something else. So that game didn't bother me last night because I thought the pitching was good. DeGrom was in that game, and the game took 258. I'm not telling you it was a crisp game. But yesterday is the one that's just like, to me, is forget it. Forget it.
You see the Tigers try and field a ground ball in that game?
Oh, God, it was brutal.
But it's not just that. It's 4-13. I mean,
yeah, the whole thing's just brutal.
Give me a freaking break. And that Mets game, I remember it. 30 combined strikeouts, okay? Of the 54 outs, 30 were... I mean, I had the game on. It was tight and compelling-ish. There's something about Red Sox at Mets, you know, that just sort of brings you back. Like, I get it. And DeGrom is a badass. So, like, I get it. I can't remember. Who was pitching for you? Was it Pivetta? And then, who was pitching?
Richards went the first game. I think it was Nick Pivetta.
Yeah, Pivetta pitched that game. And then they finished with Barnes and Whitlock and someone else.
Okay, so exactly. So, if you're striking out 16 guys and you're throwing Pivetta, Whitlock, and Barnes, it's not exactly Ron Guidry and Goose Gossage. Everyone's striking out. DeGrom, I'll give him. Your pitchers? God, it's just too many strikeouts in the game.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm not telling you I like the way the game is played now. I've kind of reconciled it for this year because I'm going to have to. And if the Red Sox are going to win, they're going to have to win ugly. I just think that game to me, and the Mets can't hit. The Mets suck, offensively anyway. So I don't, you know, that game doesn't bother me, though, nearly as much as the one yesterday.
I'm just saying, I mean, and look, we haven't spent a lot of time belaboring this because we've spent years on it, so we don't need to keep doing it. But it just is a jumping off point. I was waiting for that game done yesterday, 4-13. And strikeouts are once again at an all-time high, another record year. So Theo Epstein's got a lot of work in front of him. Gino in Weymouth on the Celts. Go ahead, Gino.
How we doing, guys? So you can be the best X's and O's coach in the world. It doesn't matter. You're nothing if you don't have a grip on the team. I don't understand what the hesitancy is here to fire Brad. How is it when we had Amir Johnson, Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, and Kelly Olynyk, we still were in the Eastern Conference Finals, and you can say the same thing about this team that has clearly superior talent. I don't think anyone's going to argue that. Thank you.
Okay, so I don't know if they have the most talent in the East, but you have more talent than being a 6-7 seed, which is what you are now. I think the coach is part of the issue. It wouldn't surprise me if they move on at the end of the year. There's a mutual departing of the ways that the contract makes it kind of difficult. He signed for six more years.
Yeah, it's five or six, I think.
It's seven per. So, I mean, they're committed to him. They love him. But, I don't know, the team doesn't listen to him. And they're grossly underachieving. So I don't know how long coaches survive in that situation.
Yeah, I just think that good players in that league don't listen to coaches, period. I think it's really rare, unless you have Tim Duncan and, you know, Popovich. In which case, Tim Duncan will defer. But you know what? What's Popovich without Tim Duncan? How well are they coached now? Like, you know, and when I say it's the same guy, I just think in that league, it's all about the star players. All about the star players.
Frank the Tank on the events in the NHL this week. You must have liked it, Frank.
I loved it. It was great to watch. A little bit of hatred amongst, you know, rivalries. It was great. There was nothing wrong with it. I don't think that Wilson should have been suspended. I understand people's dislike of him. I dislike him sometimes. But there are other teams in the league who would gladly have him. So if you want to counter him, fight fire with fire. And as the New York Rangers go, and all these announcers that call the game, and the sportscasters afterwards, spare me your social justice warrior attitude with fighting in hockey. If I have, they're part of the problem as to why our sport is turning into just, you know, roller hockey. Leave it alone. If you don't want to watch it, you don't have to. There are people like me who enjoy a little bit of violence in their sports. If I've got to listen to these announcers and these sportscasters, oh, they're hitting each other in the head. Oh, they're going to hurt it. Hey, it's a physical game. It's a physical sport played by physical people. If I got to listen to it anymore, I'm going to sit down at a sewing machine and put my head under it because I can't take it anymore.
I'll tell you what, Frank, you know, going to TNT might help you and people of your ilk and my ilk who like the violence and don't like the finger wagging and just want to let it go. The folks at TNT don't care. I mean, they'll have Barkley and Shaq threaten to chuck chicken wings at each other. I mean, we have those great stuff, great clips of those guys going at it. And don't they have the wrestling contract, Jimmy? Don't they have a big wrestling thing?
Yeah, Wednesday night, TNT, 8 p.m.
So TNT.
They'll mix it up.
So I think they'll mix it up. And they won't, you know, you won't have those the shameful hush tones of the broadcasters. I think the broadcasters should encourage it. I hope, anyway.
Oh, it'd be a great place for it. You know, again, I hope it does turn into that. And that line by Barkley, I'm going to throw a chicken wing at your fat ass. It's the greatest line ever uttered.
So unlike NBC, TNT, not afraid. But I don't know if you've heard the latest. So this, I think, was a great FU by the NHL back to James Dolan. Do you know that Buchnevich was suspended for a game?
Yeah, for high sticking, yeah.
For high sticking. So in the rematch on Wednesday, he was in one of the scrums, and he sort of popped someone in the head, and it was a cross check. And the NHL suspended him a game. Tom Wilson didn't get a game. Tom Wilson just got a couple $1,000s. And, of course, you know, we know what happened next where the Rangers called for George Parros' firing, and then he fired his GM and president. Then the NHL suspended Buchnevich. But Buchnevich was the guy that Wilson slammed into the ice.
Yeah, no, right. He's the one whose head he pinned down against the ice.
And Wilson got nothing. And then they suspend Buchnevich.
I'll tell you what, that is old school type of stuff, too. Because, again, that statement by the Rangers was embarrassing. It was. So that response by the league was shut the hell up, pay up the $250, and by the way, you guys suspended. F great. Off. That's old school, though. That's the way they should do it.
Brandon in Boston, quickly.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, Phil, I agree with you. Baseball's way too long. I feel like they should shut it down and give it seven innings. But I tell you why it's long, because there's photo shoots from the pitcher and the batters. From the pitcher taking off his hat, then him taking his hands, rubbing it through his head, licking of the fingers, and then the batter.
Yeah, it's pitch to pitch, Brandon. It's just too long. It's just too long pitch to pitch. And, you know, the way the game's played now, they don't emphasize contact. So it's waiting for your pitch, swinging out of your ass, swinging and missing, or letting him go and walking or striking out, and that takes longer. You're not swinging at first pitches trying to slap singles. So it's just I'm moving over it forever. You don't have to go back over it. But again, it's just...
It hasn't improved.
It hasn't improved.
No, it hasn't.
The strikeouts have never been higher, and the games have never been longer, and it's not going in the other direction yet. So it's still there. It's still there, and yesterday just drove it home.
Yeah, and honestly, I think, you know, we had a caller earlier who got his panties in a bunch over it, and the fact is we're the wrong people to be talking to right now because the Red Sox have sucked so bad that anybody who wants baseball is going to take whatever they give you at the moment. Myself included, by the way. I said to you, I'm going to have to bite the bullet this year because I want a half-decent product. But the fact is that the games they played this week, yesterday was unbearable. It was, and look, overall, I'll tell you, I said earlier in the year, I'll double check it. They were striking out less than most teams. I think that number has gone up. They're like 20th in the league now where they were last at one point. So they're playing a little bit differently than other teams. But their strikeout numbers are going through the roof now, too.
Okay, here's Murray with an update, then more your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz.
One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is. Just slinging poo at each other.
Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And swung on and popped up. Vasquez waiting. He's got it. And the Red Sox win it 12-9. They take the series 2-1. It was a long, long afternoon, but in the end, worth it. The Red Sox 12 and the Tigers 9.
How about a Red Sox thought in general, Maz? How do you feel about the team right now?
So I don't love the way they're playing at the moment. Again, I feel like the series against the Tigers, to me, they took 2 out of 3, but I tell you that if they play that way, they're going to lose against most teams. Detroit just sucks so bad. So look, they're 500 since that winning streak, 10-10. And baseball can work that way, right? You know, it's all about the little spikes along the way. And if they're the ones that are pointing up are better than the ones that are pointing down, usually you're going to come out ahead. But they're not playing as well as they were early in the year. And as the competition gets better, and their pitching has gone sideways now. So
yeah, but Franchi's has come to life, man.
Oh yeah, yeah, three hits yesterday. But so look, I tell you that this team that we've seen over the last 3 weeks that's gone 10-10 is probably closer to what they are than the team that won 9 in a row. I just don't think they're as good as they showed in that 9-game stretch. But I also think that the league's really mediocre, really really mediocre. And so if they can just continue to do what they do, they're probably going to be in it for a playoff spot.
They should be.
Yeah, it's you know, I just didn't expect it. After last year, my expectations for them were so freaking low because they were so bad. And after that first series, I was terrified. But their best players are carrying them right now. I mean, it's Bogarts, it's Martinez, Devers, Verdugo, you know, Rodriguez and Eovaldi on the staff. And Eovaldi kind of has crapped the bed here a little bit the last couple of times. So the pitching staff isn't super talented, but the middle of their lineup's as good as anybody in baseball. When those 3, 4, 5 guys are going, the heart of the order, they're going to score.
Okay, we've got thoughts on that and whatever else you like here on Agenda Free Friday. Brian in Pittsburgh. Hi, Brian. Brian. Okay, babe, you can call us back. You have to, you know the number. Matt in Framing or Norwood. Go ahead, Matt. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Earlier in the week, I heard your take about 6 of their teams passing on Mac Jones for the Patriots. I think that's a little overblown. I think you guys are considering enough the fact that Mac Jones just didn't fit what they are doing in football. There is a thing called a playbook. There is a thing called a scheme. And I think you guys need to consider that Mac Jones didn't fit those team schemes, you know, for some of the teams that were in front of the Patriots. And then a quick question for you guys.
Hey, Richie, can I interrupt you for 1 second?
Sure.
Then why were people linking him to the Niners at number 3?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, people were saying that Jones was an option for the Niners at number 3. If he wasn't a fit for their playbook, why would they have even linked him?
I don't believe that. I think that they were on Trey Lance the entire time.
Okay, what's your next point before I address you first?
If Justin Fields went in that sweet spot, 7, 8, 9, do you think the Patriots would have gotten more aggressive with Mac Jones and moved up a couple spots to make sure they got him?
No,
me neither.
I don't. I think Bill took him because he was there but wasn't going to trade up for him. And all things being equal, may not even wanted to have taken him at 15, but did it anyway. It was close. It was an organizational decision there. So, no, I do not think they were going to move up. In fact, there were teams in the top 10 reportedly saying that they circled back to the Patriots. Remember, there was all these reports, which I guess turned out to be true, that the Patriots were calling teams in the top 10 about what would it take to deal up into the top 10. Well, apparently they got to draft night, and at least one of those teams in the top 10 called the Patriots to say, okay, here we go, we're on the clock. Any interest? And the Pats said, no thanks. So it was a feign. And your first point, so the teams that passed on Mac Jones did so because he wasn't a system fit. So again, we're talking Atlanta, which needs a quarterback of the future, Detroit that needs a quarterback of the future, Carolina that desperately wants a quarterback of the future, Denver who desperately wants a quarterback of the future, Philadelphia who has no quarterback right now, so there's 5. Minnesota was in on Justin Fields ahead of you at 14, so that's 6. And then Chicago did move up ahead of you to 11, so there's 7. So there's 7 quarterback needy teams that had a crack at Mac Jones that passed on him. Maybe they're stupid and you're smart. You don't like that commentary, caller. I know. I don't blame you. It's a little trolly. I agree. But, I mean, what do you want? I mean, you took the guy that a lot of other teams didn't want. And you could say that's because of the system, if it makes you feel better, but I don't think that's the case. I think they passed on him because they don't think he's that good. That's why I think they passed on him. I mean, is Carolina signed Teddy Bridgewater last year to be their guy. See that mobile of a quarterback?
No.
He's your classic check down Charlie sort of system quarterback. He's not a running athletic quarterback. So Denver with Drew Locke, I mean, he can move a little bit, but Are they running like bootlegs and all that stuff there? I mean, I don't know. Do they need an athletic quarterback in Denver?
No, and again,
I mean, the last time they went and got a quarterback, it was Peyton Manning.
Yeah, and Mike, at his workout day, the measurables on Jones were better than people thought they were going to be. The point being is he's not like, you know, Bledsoe back there. He does move a little bit.
I mean, Bedard has him, Fred Astaire, with his footwork.
Yeah, it's so, but this isn't, you know, this whole thing now is the Patriots fans' way of justifying the fact that they got the fifth quarterback taken, and it's purely because it wasn't a system fit with other people. It can't be any reflection on his talent.
I just disagree with that. I just don't think that's why. I think those teams, and a multiple, at least a handful, of quarterback-needy teams passed on him, could have taken him, and passed. And I think it's because they don't think he's that good. So once again, maybe they're wrong. It's entirely possible. A lot of stupid people in the league. Vic in Virginia, what do you got for us today?
Yeah, so Wednesday night in extra innings when the Red Sox were tied, they brought in Barnes in the top of the ninth. He struck out the side. Then they go to Whitlock in the tenth and he gets shelled. Maz, the new rule, you think you hold Barnes and bring him in with the man on second? I mean, you want him on the mound rather than Whitlock with the guy on, right? Start the inning?
So isn't the when you're at home, you bring the closer in the top of the inning?
Yeah.
So does the new overtime, the new extra inning thing that he mentioned, does that change it?
No, because you're still batting the bottom of the ninth with the chance to win the game. And that was the game that Bogaerts lined the ball in the left center, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy made the sliding catch. So once you get into the ninth inning at home, there is no save situation anymore. So what are you going to do? Lose with your best, holding out your best reliever? Like I didn't have a huge problem with that one. You know, one way or another, Barnes is, you know, you got to get Barnes into that game. You got to get him into that game. So you pitch him in the ninth, you try to win it in the bottom half, and you take your chances there. If you want to run him out there for a second inning, you could make that argument, but they never use him for two. They use him for one. So look, again, they blew it. The problem is they don't really have anyone other than Barnes who's reliable.
All right, folks, I put a couple of Patriots items in the slow cooker back at home, the hot take crock pot. And it's taken a couple days now for it to simmer and come to fruition. But
that meat's falling off the bone.
Oh, it is. It's so tender, Murray. Oh, I got some tender hot takes for you. I finally reached some conclusions. So it took me all week. But anyway, the crock pot finally chimed and time's up. And I'll give you the first one of it as it relates to Garoppolo. And I'll do a long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Please, Mass.
What the?
Felger and Mass.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
Would you have welcomed a return to New England?
I don't know. We never really got to cross that bridge. You never know where your path's going to take you in the NFL. I thought I was going to be in New England for my entire career. that didn't go as planned. So it's kind of one of those businesses, you just got to be ready for anything. Got to be on your toes, got to be able to react. And, you know, however the story plays out, you just got to be able to run with it.
All right, so here's a Garoppolo thought. It's not revolutionary, and again, I'm sure Maz has said it, a caller has said it, Murray has said it, or Stu has said it, and I'm not focused, and I'm just out to lunch. But it has sort of occurred to me and crystallized to me what happened here with Garoppolo. And I believe Jimmy Stewart's reporting this week that the Patriots and Garoppolo were talking about contract, and Garoppolo did not agree to the Patriots' terms, and that blew up the trade. And I believe that. And so what I think went on here is Garoppolo and his agent, Don Yee, wouldn't take the cheese. They wouldn't take the cheese. And it's not just the one-year thing, Maz, because I previously believed, and a part of me still does, that Garoppolo should take less to come back here because it's his best position to succeed. Purely football, if we're not talking contracts, if we're just talking football, I believe that. That he should restructure his contract because he hasn't been able to stay on the field, to come back here, get in with Belichick and McDaniels, who believe in him, and resurrect your career here with these guys. Because they believe in you, Kyle Shanahan doesn't, and who knows what else is out there across the league. So there should be some sacrifice there to come back here and do that for football. But if it's contract, you know what Bill has in mind for him. It's not just year one, take a $9 million pay cut and go down to 16. It's what's the next contract going to look like? Bill and Robert Kraft are on record, at least Robert Kraft is, and you know Bill feels the same way. We don't want a quarterback to make too much of a percentage on the salary cap. So if Jimmy Garoppolo comes back here and has a good year and is your quarterback of the future and then has to renegotiate the next contract, what are the Patriots going to do? You're going to hear this same bull crap, and Jimmy's going to hear this same bull crap of, well, geez, if we pay you market, we can't surround you with talent, and to have a competitive team and to win championships, you know, you've got to leave something on the table. And so what Belichick wanted was not just the next Brady on the field, he wanted the next Brady off the field. And maybe he had an expectation, because it was the same agent that did business with him and played ball with him for 20 years, and because Garoppolo would be beholden to him, that that's what he'd get. That's what Bill really wanted. He wanted the next guy to come in and run his system and take his lousy contracts. And he thought that's what he was getting. And he thought he had Garoppolo. I mean, for Pete's sake, he's been grooming him all this time, with all those text messages and all the love affair and everything, all the winking at him from a, you know, from across the country. And, you know, those two have got a thing for each other. So it's like Bill probably thought he had Garoppolo in his back pocket. Now, not only did he get him on a discount when he comes back, but afterwards, he'll just do what Tommy did, and he'll take our lousy contracts, and we'll get him to buy the same thing that Tom bought for all those years, that you need to leave this on the table because, well, we can't surround you. And that's what he really wanted out of Garoppolo. And it probably stunned Bill that Garoppolo wouldn't take it.
Good.
He wouldn't take that deal. He wouldn't take, when I say that deal, I mean, he wouldn't take those. So, you know, and you just see how Garoppolo felt about it. It's like, well, even if I take this lousy thing for 1 year and it works out and now I'm your quarterback of the future, well, how are you going to treat me going forward?
Right. He's never going to get paid.
And, you know, Don Yee's saying that to him. He says, Jimmy, you know what this means. I mean, so it's not a 1 year give back. It's really the basis for the rest of your career there. Because the Patriots did that to Brady, too. It's like every time Brady left money on the table, they use that against him the next time he was up for a contract. So it, like, never goes away. And so this is the conclusion to all these obvious things being put in my crock pot back at home, which is if Bill couldn't get Garoppolo to take that condition, if he couldn't get Garoppolo to come back here and do that, who's he going to get?
Well, this is why something Maz said yesterday has been stuck in my head for like 24 hours, and that's, what if Mac Jones is good, and 4 years from now, they're going to have to pay him?
Or what if Mac Jones has an agent who says, I'm not, and there's agents have done this, who've quit, who've said, I mean, did Tom Condon do it? Someone might have done it with the Patriots even. I can't remember who it was, but rather than have his player sign on the Patriots' terms and have that attached to his resume, the agent's resume, the agent quit. I thought it was Tom Condon here. With someone,
no, that sounds right.
With Ben Watson. Who was it?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Rosie Colvin?
Maybe it was someone.
No, that sounds right. I'm not kidding.
I thought it happened here. But what if Mac Jones, do we know who Mac Jones' agent is?
Let me find out.
Quick Google. But you would think if anyone would come back on those terms, right? I'll give you money back to start, and then on the next contract, I'll play ball with you because this is where I want to be and this is where I want to win, and you're best for me and I'm best for you, and I'm gonna buy your lie that me leaving money on the table allows you to surround the team with better play. I'm just going to play the Brady game for the next 20 years, or 10 in Garoppolo's case. If you think anyone would do it, it would be Garoppolo, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Bill can't get him to do it, who's he going to get to do it?
Some white-eyed kid out of college that thinks he owes his career to him 4 years down the road. That's it. That's the answer. Because you know you're not getting it from the guy in the NFL. So as you were saying that, Brady's not even here anymore, and they're still using him in negotiations against other players.
Totally.
Which is really what it comes to, because they did it for years while he was here.
Tommy did this, Jim.
He did.
Tommy did it.
You know, well, this is what Brady did. Don't you want to be like Brady? So this is, and this is one of the oldest tricks in negotiating, too, that, you know, set the starting line as far back as you can. Because then when he comes in for the extension, the new deal, you know what they say? Well, we're giving you 25%.
So he signed with an agency called Enter Sports, and I'm at their website, and I've never heard of any of these guys. Hadley Engelhard?
No. Hadley Engelhard's been a while.
Oh, okay. Well, he's the president of this
So I think he's an old-timer. Okay. I think, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but the name rings a bell to me, which means he might have been around when I covered it. And it was. It was Condon and Ben Watson. Condon quit instead of putting his name on that contract. And it's like... So, I mean, I don't know who, so I would have to assume, so like this
again,
is.
Again, an agent turning down money.
This well, is.
Tony, think about this for a second. Like, Don Yee represented Tom Brady, and how much money did Tom Brady lose for Don Yee for taking less money? Don Yee would take less money, less of a commission, if Jimmy Garoppolo gave back the $9 million going from 25 with the 49ers to 16 with the Patriots.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Jimmy, it's not just about the commission, and I'm not telling you that's insignificant.
It's about your reputation
with
players.
Exactly, because what happens is when you go to the next guy and they say, well, how many guys did you undersell to the Patriots? How many guys did you undersell? Why would I sign with you?
I mean, it doesn't...
Two of the biggest.
It doesn't affect Rosenhaus, right, who delivers clients to Bill continually. So that, you know, I don't know if that would work against him or not, but to me, it wasn't just the $9 million he would have to give back this year. It's, well, what's the next contract going to look
like? No, it's like compounding interest in reverse, Mike.
And what's your expectation? And no one knows better than what the Patriots' expectation is and what they ask of the quarterback to do financially than Don Yee, his agent. And if Bill can't get Jimmy to take the cheese... Who is he going to get to take the cheese?
Yeah, this is why I told you that part of me looks at Garoppolo and says, good for you. Good for you. Tell them to F off. Go pound sand. You act like you still have Brady and you're something special, and you're not right now. So again, now, if they win with Mac Jones or whoever and they reestablish it, well, then they can start leveraging all the people they want. Right now, they don't have it. And so if I'm a guy like him, this is why part of me said, good for Garoppolo. F you, pal. No way. This is what my contract is. You want me, you got to pay me. Why is it that, like, Belichick even has to get players come in and genuflect at his feet for the, just like they do assistants, paying him $15,000 a year to work for him,
well,
for the right to work with Bill Belichick?
It's the quarterback thing, especially because that's a big ticket. That's a big ticket position. That's a real money factor position. It's, you know, what you pay your, when you're paying your quarterback 25, 30, 40 million a year, that impacts margins, budgets, everything. Not the cap, but everything else. And it does the cap even a little bit, but that's the easiest part of the whole equation. So Brady always gave it back, and I think Garoppolo and Yee looked at it and said, do we want to be that guy? Do we want to be that guy? And you could say part of them should. I mean, you know, if you go on the Brady model, you're going to win, and Bill does believe in you as a player, and I don't know who else does. But contractually, I think I know where they were coming from. So anyway, there's that. We'll get back to your calls on Agenda-Free Friday after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.